Hello and welcome to GQHQ PQ, Goose's Quizzes Headquarters podcast. No fancy written intro today. We're throwing it back to the early days of just sliding casually into your ears and nestling in for some friendly chat and quizzy action. My name is Scott, and I'll be steering this ship for the first part of the pod. My first mate, Louis, is also here. Louis, how are you today?
Fine, Captain.
Good. It's great to have you here. My other first mate, Goose, is here. And how are you doing?
I'm doing so well.
That's great to hear. Friends for now, but we'll butt heads later when we compete in the percentage game. As always, we take questions from our weekly pub quizzes and try and guess the percentages of teams that got each question correct. We have the usual four questions. Four? I thought we had five normally. Hang on, it's probably just not documented correctly. Sorry, there's a new employee in the database. Wait. Shit, one's escaped. A question's escaped. We're going to need to find it before. Well, you know what happened last time. Louis, can you take upstairs? They kind of gotten too far from the storage unit. Goose, can you go downstairs where the percentages are kept? It's unlikely it's gotten that far, but just in case. We're going to have to stop the recording for now. We might be able to continue in a bit, but this is our priority right now. Remember, don't panic, and whatever you do when you find the question, do not. Let's not acknowledge what happened this morning. I'll make sure Bernardo edits that part out, and we'll just record something to slip in.
Yeah, no worries.
So we can just start from... Oh, how about this? Goose, in the last week, what's been your favorite interaction in a quiz been?
Oh, I was running a quiz last night, and this team were doing okay at the start. Mm-hmm. Like they joined after question three and got the first two questions read out again to them.
Okay, not too late, yeah.
And then a few people joined them over the night. They were sitting right next to me. And then as they started to realize they were doing quite well in the quiz and you were getting more answers correct, one of the girls in the team announced, "If we win, we're going to Hive."
Wow.
And
big call.
Well, the reaction of the rest of the team was almost identical to this, which was effectively, what?
Like, excuse me?
And then there was a sort of moment of, yeah, it's a £50 bar tab if they won. And so they were just like, yeah, we're going to go to Hive if we win. And they did win. So
this was on a Sunday.
This is on a Sunday night. And also, if you don't know what Hive is, for the people who don't know what Hive is a notorious club in Edinburgh, which has been around since birth, like all of us were born.
Yeah.
It's a cavernous club, which most people know for the mantra Hive till five, because during the festival it's open till five. But it's like a pretty dirty club. Not that I don't like that, dislike Hive.
It has a reputation.
We've had good nights there before.
Yes, we have.
I think we've all been there together at some point.
I haven't been there in years.
Neither.
Because the average age is probably just over 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially.
But it's like it's an experience. I've had friends come after like going there once and coming back to Edinburgh like, we need to go to Hive.
Yeah. Well, they used to do £1 drinks as well.
Yes.
And so it holds this reputation still. Because these are students, I think. Most of the people were sitting next to me.
In this economy?
I mean, if they still did £1 drinks, we should be going back to Hive. I was excited for them, and then they said they're going to go to Hive. I announced it on the microphone and said that now has to happen, and they all seemed quite sheepish when they actually won.
Oh, no.
And we're sort of like, we're just enjoying our pints here. Oh. So I think they decided that they weren't going to go to Hive, but they might have. And if they're hearing this and did go to Hive, I'd like to know how you went, because what I was going to say to them and forgot was, you know how like they always do the club photographers on nights out, you know, I was like, if you get a photo with the winning team in Hive,
yeah,
like as a winning team, we'll obviously share it. Like, we'll obviously share that through on our socials as well. Here's one of our winning teams. And then I thought about, could we get clubs to sponsor our quiz nights, that if you win, you get like a certain discount of going to the club.
Ooh.
Like you get some like drinks package when you walk into the club.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think the sort of crossover between people who are our type of quiz goers and big club nights out on midweek.
Yeah. No one's really saying, let's do pre's at a quiz.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not exactly, and I think especially our style of quiz, it's not exactly people coming and being like, you know what we're going to do after this? Get absolutely reeking. So I don't think it's the business move that I'm aiming to go for, but you know what could happen?
It's networking.
I think we... What if you
that
said,
team would have taken you up on it.
If we had said to them, oh, we've actually got a deal with Hive, that you'll get 3 bottles of champagne if you go down to Hive. I mean, I would question if it was champagne. But if you got 3 bottles of champagne if you went down to Hive after you win the quiz. And then it's like, sweet. Or like, say, what I prefer it is, if you got a certain question correct in the quiz. And so it was like, this question is sponsored by Hive.
Yeah.
And then it's like, something about Hive or something to do with, like, you know, nightclubs or whatever. And then anyone who gets it correct gets like a token, and you say, you get to go down and you can get some kind of special discount at Hive.
Here's a stamp.
Yeah.
Free entry.
Exactly.
Done.
And then maybe we put a party bus on. Maybe we buy a party bus for Goose's quizzes.
Cool. Let's start with like the token stamp idea first.
No, party bus.
Party bus first. Work backwards.
It's called Quiz Bus at the start. You're going to get on the Quiz Bus, and then slowly the music amps up. And it's like, okay. And then like a little like tear off strip comes off from the quiz bit, and it says party bus.
Oh.
And you're on the way to the party at that point.
I mean, buses famously, like, you can change what the route says on the front of the bus. Oh, we could just utilize that.
Yeah, we could use that. Yeah. See if Lothian buses are keen.
Yeah.
To put on a private bus like they do for Edinburgh Uni.
At Lothian buses, at Hive.
We're about the same size institution as Edinburgh University. So I would say I can't see why they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Ferrying people from ferrying a small number of people from one of our quizzes to a nightclub on a midweek.
Perfect.
I think we've got the perfect business plan.
Match made in heaven.
I agree.
I know that teams have gone to nightclubs after quizzes.
You've all been out with people after quizzes.
I got dragged to one,
You say dragged.
I
actually don't know if Louis has.
No.
Louis doesn't socialize with the people he does quizzes for.
Would you?
That's how people like me.
Wait, I don't know if that means. That you think,
however you want.
A slight on us. or I feel like I only can feel offended at this.
I feel like it would break the mystique around your quiz host, quiz team relationship if you've seen them hanging around a club with a backpack.
I usually leave my backpack at the bar.
Not that it's a really cool profession, but I think that shatters it.
A little bit. The edge of, this person's cool because they've just given me a free bar tab.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have more depth than that, but that's maybe just my feeling.
I'm going to have a chat with Goose.
I feel it gives you quite a sort of limited amount of faith in your kind of personality.
It's fun.
It's well-founded.
Yeah.
I know it to be true.
I went in one of the old quizzes that we don't do anymore. Bar doesn't even exist anymore. And one of the teams was like, oh, we came second. So they got like a little bar tab. And like, oh, we'll buy a drink. And I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Because I got a free drink there anyway. And I was like, oh, now it's just just going to go home. Oh, no, stay for one. Right, I'll stay for one. And then they took me to, what's East Side now?
Was it Opal?
Opal. So they took me to Opal, and as soon they're like, "Oh, come out! We've got a friend who works on the door, and they'll get us in for free." And I was like, "Oh yeah, cool." And this was being like maybe a Tuesday night, and so went in with them, and then as soon as we walked in, everyone disappeared.
Yeah.
I was like, "Okay, then I am going to go home because I didn't pay to get in here." Yeah, it was fun.
I meant to say, by the way, I was at Montpellier's last night.
That's where the Hive team was.
Nice. That's where I was quizzing. Montpellier's in Brunsfield.
Shiny new quiz.
Sunday night, 7:30. It's a nice venue.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they've got good things going there. They've also got a really good range of untapped beers.
Yes.
But they also have Disaronno Velvet, which we've talked about on the podcast before. Friend of the podcast, Disaronno Velvet.
Oh, is that like the sort of the milky one?
It's like Bailey's, but amaretto. Ugh. It is.
Not for me.
I couldn't think of anything worse. But my family, so I'm sure this is representing my family and my wife, think it's the best thing ever. So there we go. So I text Alice when I was there. It's like, they have Disaronno Velvet, by the way.
Which is good for everyone else but me.
Yeah, you can all drink that. More other alcohol for me, which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really fun. It was nice to be back on the quiz seat as well. I haven't hosted for a little while. So it was nice to be back hosting and having a bit of joyous time.
Oh, good to have you back.
The food always looks so good there.
It does. I always like go to places to do quizzes and see people carrying plates out and stuff. Mm. I was like, oh, I should come here and eat. And then I just forget until I'm back there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't have time to eat because I have to do a quiz. Yeah. And eating and hosting, not very...
You know what they also had a lot of there? Dogs. Oh, nice. There was a range of... There was a dog that I have so much time for. As I walked in, it was a big shaggy dog. It was a kind of like, you know, the big... Dulux dogs.
Oh yeah,
kind of like
yeah.
Big sort of, you know, long hair, white and sort of grey.
Yeah,
that kind of dog. Laid right across the corridor bit where you have to walk in. Didn't move an inch.
Yeah.
Like okay. It was just like, you're either going to step over me or step on me, but one of these things is going to go badly for you.
Yeah,
it's like right, so I'll step over. And I sort of like, I have a lot of respect for dogs like that. They're just like, well, I'm here.
Yeah. So yeah. Don't get skittish. There was a big I think Burmese at Innocent Gun in Leith last night.
Nice.
Yeah. Just was a puddle, just sprawled out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone who walked past, oh, guilty. Yeah. So
no, there was, I'd say at one point at Montpellier's, there was like six dogs in there, like all around the front section. Nice. But I was running a bit late last night, so I didn't have a lot of time to take photos, but I would have gone around and taken photos of all these dogs. Two Spaniels, one oh, huge dog. There was there was a Labrador underneath one of the tables that I didn't see. And then I was like,
secret
look
Labrador.
At that good boy. So yeah. It was a very nice dog-friendly quiz and pub.
Sweet. Good to hear.
Wow. What an intro, Scott. I can't believe you wrote all that down.
Got the timing off a little bit, but yeah.
Wow. That was hard work. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks for getting all your parts done, memorized in the week.
No problem.
This is the percentage game. We have five quiz questions that we have put to our IRL weekly pub quizzes. We know the percentage of the hundreds of teams who have got each question correct. In the percentage game, we work together to guess the answers and then compete against each other to guess the percentage of the teams got the questions correct. Whoever gets closest to the actual percentage gets the most points. Whoever gets furthest away from the actual percentage gets the least points. The easier the question, the higher the percentage, etc. At the end, the scores are totaled and whoever gets the most points wins.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Are we all good? Are we all ready to play?
That was a recording.
To play ball. What?
Yeah, behind the curtain. But I'm ready. I got a whiteboard and a pen. I know for a fact that Goose has the same.
I've drawn Louis.
Oh, is it me? Is this
wearing a Gap t-shirt.
Because, oh, I was going to say, it doesn't say Gap.
It needs a Gap.
Carp.
Right. Why Gap?
Because I thought you were going to leave a big gap again after the recording.
Right.
That we then had to then move into the recording because we talked about it after we did the gap. Now's the running theme. Louis leaves a gap.
Well, I'm going to leave one this episode. See if you can hear it.
You can leave a little gap and I can just edit a big gap in.
We're going to talk about it straight away. people playing along at home. If you're on the bus, at home, whatever.
Remember to ring the bell as many times as you think the percentage is correct.
Get if you're on the quiz bus.
Get your tools ready.
Whatever you can press or do at the time that you're listening to this, that's how many times that percentage-wise you think is correct. And everyone else can then know and verify what you said before you hear the recording say the actual percentage.
So, yeah. Can we just get people to send us pictures of buses? Of them on a bus?
Yeah.
If you really want.
I'd
rather do something else with our power than bus
picture
pictures.
On a train or just transport?
A picture of transport. Well, download a picture of...
One on transport. Someone on transport.
A selfie of...
Are you more like bus watching or train spotting? Or are you talking like people...
A sexual thing.
Oh, I like bus stuff. No, like a picture of you. I mean, it doesn't have to be of you on your face. Anyway, Scott, edit this part out.
Getting on and getting off.
Anyway, send us pictures of you on transport.
That was so innocent.
Quick question one, Louis. Quick.
Question one, 50-50, true or false? Barbie was the first toy advertised on television.
Oh, surely not. When did was Barbie around from the 50s? 40s?
Huh.
No, I think the 50s for Barbie. Something like You feel, no, surely not. Like, way back in the day, there must have been, like, science kits and things like that that were advertised.
Yeah.
Those ones that had, like, uranium in them.
And it's like slinkies?
Hey, Billy, why don't you play with this? Yeah. It's like, that is a full-on knife.
When, okay, yeah. I don't know why, but I don't think it was Barbie.
I don't think it was Barbie either. False.
False.
Can we try and guess?
Yeah.
Was it the Pluto Platter, which was originally the Frisbee?
Oh. Was it a Slinky?
No.
Everyone loves a Slinky.
Everyone.
Was it a science kit?
No.
Was it something we would know?
Yeah.
Lego?
No.
Mechanic? No, that will be later.
Robotics? What's the one that we...
Bionicles.
Bionicles.
Oh, can you give us a clue?
Toy Story.
Slinky Woody. Dog.
No, no.
Army Man.
Control Car.
No, no.
Mr. Potato Head?
Yeah.
Mr. Really? Potato Head?
So, that surprises me.
Wow. Was it made out of Bakelite?
There's a really interesting Blind Boy podcast about advertising to children from like the Nixon era.
That is too easy.
Yeah. There's like rules about it, and then like, nah, scrap the rules.
I did see a meme the other day where it said, why you see like during TV programs that you watch, I don't watch much on TV these days, but when you watch TV programs, I want the toy adverts again that you got when you were watching TV when you were young. You're watching children's TV and it's sort of like, yeah, it just shows you toys. And they were fun adverts.
You need to start Googling toys.
Now,
and
now
YouTube will give you some.
Yeah, I know. I don't
turn off your ad blocker.
But now it's like, now I just get adverts for things like life insurance and like, you know.
Not as fun things.
No, things that make me feel like, oh, old, cool, no worries.
What if they did life insurance adverts in the style of like toys?
I'd prefer that.
Now with slime. Whoa!
There's a great advert at the moment for, I can't even remember. It's like a saving, is it like a saving pot thing, you know, like, you know, an app, whatever. And the advert is just a woman holding her phone and looking smug. It stays in there for far too long. And it's like, that's not an advert. What you've got there is a picture.
Stock footage.
Yeah. I was so like, why is this something we're seeing? Percentage, right. So the answer was false. It's not Barbie.
False, correct.
All right. I got percentage.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, turn.
Ooh.
Okay. So, Goose, you've said
67%.
Scott, you've said
73%.
73%. Someone's bang on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So, this one came out at 67%.
Bastard.
So,
me off.
2 points to Goose, 1 point to Scott for that question.
Oh, I wrote it so confidently as well. That's what needs to happen. Just the number needs to just flow out of you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I thought when Louis said someone was bang on, I was so confident. And you were like, oh no. Fake it till you make it.
I put all my confidence into the number I wrote down.
Okay.
Not to the post chat, you know.
You got lucky.
Well, buckle up. This is going to start with one controversial food opinion, which I've had flack for before. I think hot cross buns are vastly superior to mince pies.
Okay.
Huge difference.
You know what? I'm not wildly against that.
There we go. One on board.
Can you elaborate why?
So
just to be clear, that's not on board. I said I'm not wildly against that. And what you've taken that is big supporter.
Yeah. Okay, Trump, yes. Because Easter Friday.
Yes.
The day this is being released.
Yes.
I do like a hot cross bun. Are you right? So can I just double check what I'm ascertaining here? Louis, half his hot cross bun put in the toaster, lots of butter, and nothing else?
I mean, I just eat them raw.
Do you?
Yeah.
Prepped out of the packet.
Yeah, just like flavored bread.
What you are as an animal.
Nah.
I mean, as well.
I would eat it raw, but I just thought if you're bigging it up that much and saying that hot cross buns are much better.
I'm bigging it up so much I'd take it unprepared.
What would you do with a mince pie?
Cut it in half.
Exchange it for hot cross buns. What? This isn't toasting at all.
No, I just, the thing is, what you have to start measuring here is how does Louis experience these two things?
Yeah,
because if he's taking mince pies straight out of the packet and eating it, then he's doing it wrong. But I would also then say you're also doing hot cross buns wrong.
No, I think if you compare either of them hot, either of them cold, straight out of the packet, wherever you eat them, I think it's a lot harder to get a good hot cross bun than it is. No, a lot harder to get a good mince pie than it is to get a good hot cross
bun. I do agree
with that.
They're
more readily available. Okay. They're easier, better, funner to eat.
Yeah, hot cross buns very much fall within a template.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we talking original, or do you branch out into like the flavored hot cross buns?
I've had a few flavored ones.
The chocolates, the chili cheese.
I had a chili cheese. That was fine.
I hear that, is it Marks and Spencer's? I always do a different range of them each year. Yeah, they sound... And supposedly this year, I think they're doing banoffee.
Oh.
With real bits of banana in it.
Yeah. Don't get that with mince pies, do you?
It's just mince.
Oh, currants and mush.
No. It sort of feels like an arbitrary, like parallel to be drawing. It's like you could just pick two things and then be like, well, that's rubbish because it's not this. It's like, yeah. But do you think that, I would say there's other things at Christmas that would be more, what's the word? Analogous. Nope. What's that word? The word.
Keep going.
Analogous. No, but an analogy is not what I'm looking for here.
Synonymous?
Comparative.
Okay.
Like, would fit in the same lane as hot cross buns than mince pies. I would say something like a there's that, panettone? Yeah, panettone bread. Do you like that?
Never had that.
It's great. You'd like it.
See, I think Louis just has an issue that he likes bread.
No, I'm comparing these two things because these are the two things that are more synonymous with these two religious ceremonies.
But the issue that Easter has is it only has hot cross buns and eggs.
Yeah.
And Christmas has like every food under the sun.
Right. So you could not my problem.
But you've picked something for Christmas that you don't like and said, I don't like this thing for Christmas,
I don't mind it.
Of the foods of Christmas that are like the kind of fingery food things that you get, like as in, you know, mince pies or I mean, killed sausages, can't get around them. They're the best thing ever.
But
they're fine.
Now I can't eat either of the things that are in killed sausages, but you know.
I'd say mince pies are more in line with hot cross buns.
Yeah, I agree.
Sausages.
But panettone, is it?
Yeah.
Bread?
Yeah.
Surely you like that.
Yeah, but that's not in the same league as comparing those two things.
I mean, I feel like it kind of is.
No, if you go...
Christmas and a bread of Easter.
If you went to you know, a Christmas party...
Yeah,
you'd expect mince pies.
I would.
You'd
agree.
Be surprised if there's panettone.
True.
And if you went to an Easter thing again, you'd get hot cross buns.
Yeah, there's a reason I haven't had panettone. Just never seen it.
I'm going home. I'll bring it in.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, you want it for next
from
week?
Christmas?
Yeah.
A live tasting. Ooh. Does it last that long?
We'll find out.
Great.
We'll find out. It comes in tins.
It's so rock hard.
Yeah, it's meant to be like that.
No, I'm just playing devil's advocate because I actually really like hot cross buns. And mince pies, I have time for, but they can be on the dry side unless they're hot. Which I think when they're hot, they're good. But they tend to be hot in that way where it's like, this doesn't seem too hot. Bite it. It's burnt my mouth off.
Apple pie hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What surprised me here is that hot cross buns are available all of the time.
Mm.
They're very seasonal in Australia.
I wouldn't have said they are all the time, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You can pretty much get them all year, I think.
Oh, yeah. A staple in the bakery section.
I don't think I've ever really bought hot cross buns very often. But that's because I just don't buy that kind of thing.
Right, so. Next week, what a tasting we're going to have.
I've not had a hot cross bun, I don't think, for a few years.
You're going to sit and watch me eat a whole pack raw.
Yeah. I quite like... So what I used to do is used to make two cuts in the hot cross bun and on one level put some peanut butter. On the other level, put a little bit of jam. Delicious.
Wow.
Wait, what, two cuts?
Yeah, like a club sandwich.
That'd be thin cuts. How big are your hot cross buns?
Nah, if they're that thin.
If you got one of those meat slicers.
Further. A mandolin.
Making Melba toast. Hot cross buns.
They're not that thin.
I mean,
the cuts.
I'll
prepare you some.
Hot cross buns are quite thin.
Nah.
What do you get if you pour boiling hot water down rabbit holes? Hot cross bunnies.
And off the back of Easter stuff, we're doing a little competition if you are going to one of our IRL quizzes.
Yeah, IRL. Easter Sunday, kids get all the fun. You're a hard-working quiz team. We want to celebrate with you. So we're doing an Easter egg competition. Bring in an Easter egg painted. You can download a picture off our website, color it in.
Yes.
Screenshot, paint it that way. And the best one at each Sunday quiz will win a little gift bag.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get involved. Get creative. Even if you don't celebrate Easter, that's fine.
Yeah, display that on your egg. Make it an anti-Easter Easter egg.
Easter egg.
A Christmas Easter egg.
Oh, yeah, you could do that quite easily.
Christmas egg.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be Easter themed, just, you know.
Yeah, do whatever. Paint yourself, paint someone else, do what's on topical the at the time. Yeah, yeah, do that as well.
Yes. It doesn't have to be, like, technically good. Like, you don't have to be a good drawer or an artist.
If there's a backstory, great.
Oh, God, even
please
better.
Put a story.
Give us a narrative to go along with it.
We want Easter egg fan fiction.
But yeah, we got prizes. We got something to give out each Sunday quiz. So,
yeah. Find the quiz map. Let's put a little advert about the quiz map in.
Yes.
Come see Goose's Quizzes in person at an IRL quiz. Visit goosesquizzes.com and click on the quiz map to find a quiz.
Question two. Name the TV show that stars Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez. So question two, the television show that stars Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez.
I know this one straight away because I love it.
Okay, I think it might take me a little while to reach the name.
It's a weird name.
Is it? It's like no dead bodies in the basement or something? Wait, no, let me get there.
Jot that down, that's
it's
good.
It's so weirdly close. It really does.
No, it's something like no murders in my house. No.
You know, it feels like if someone plays articulate and they're not allowed to say like the actual word.
No.
You're so close.
No.
The first word isn't no.
It's not no.
It's the opposite of no.
Yes.
Well, no.
Yes. It's please not, come
sorry,
and kill in
sorry.
My house.
It's the opposite of none.
All.
I don't think it's quite the opposite. I actually can't think what this word is the opposite of.
Every? Wait, we'll work this out. Every some. A few.
This feels like writing a terrible Excel formula.
If.
Every some if. You're so close to this.
There's.
We really enjoyed it though. It's a good show. New one's coming out soon.
So it's like a positive thing.
Oh no. Yeah.
That. There is.
This is going to be brutal for people at home who know the answer to this.
Sting's in it.
Only murder in the building.
Only murder. Only
murders in the building.
Is that like a command? Like you can only.
It's just the name of their podcast on the show. Right. Is only murders in the building.
Okay.
Because there's a murder in their building.
Right.
And they decide to be like a true crime podcast about. Oh. Yeah. I'm assuming that's the right answer.
Correct.
There we go.
No, cool. It's no dead bodies in the basement.
Oh, I really like that.
That's a spin-off. It's
that's one of my favorite but it really did feel like the reverse version of Articulate, where you were like, avoiding the words, but like on purpose.
Well, we got there. Because you knew it. That's why.
I mean, that's the issue. I mean, and it's so... The thing I'm going to talk through the percentage I'm going to go for, how hard I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is... It was a Disney Plus thing.
Yeah.
And Disney Plus, however, it's got pretty big, and a lot of people do have access to it.
Mm.
Is it as big as like Netflix and Amazon Prime? And
Martin Short's pretty big as well. Popular.
I'd say Steve Martin's probably.
Yeah. I mean, Selena Gomez out of those three, probably the most popular.
Nah, Steve Martin's bigger than Selena Gomez, surely.
Do you reckon?
Steve Martin's been around for a long time.
Does he play trumpet, saxophone?
Banjo.
Banjo.
Yeah, he does like a good Tiny Desk
finger
concert.
Finger saxophone. Oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah. You should watch
a good
it.
What?
Tiny Desk concert.
Nice.
He plays his banjo.
Cool. Yeah, right.
And Selena Gomez has 405 million followers. on Instagram.
Was she like a Disney person?
Yes. Sure.
She was in, was she in iCarly? Was that one of hers? She was either like Disney or Nick.
iCarly, the precursor to iRobot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And iPhone.
Wizards of Waverly Place.
All right.
Percentage. Go. Right. So, Goose, you've said
78%.
Scott, you've said
61%.
61%. Okay. It's
a pretty wordy title. I don't think everyone will get all the words.
So, we've got a 61 and a 78. People
have definitely said basement.
This one came out at 53%.
Really?
So Scott wins that.
I probably convinced you to go lower than you might have, and I was.
Nah, I think I'd convince myself.
I didn't take my own advice. It's so stupid.
Oh, well.
I was pretty convinced that people wouldn't know it as well, obviously, from my.
It's because you've seen it. You skewed yourself.
I really did. We really enjoyed it. We also did this thing where we didn't quite realize that it was. So we hammered through. You know when you find a new season and you're like, great, yeah. I get to actually like tear through this every night when we come home. Going to watch another episode. Like, great, right? And so we did that and we didn't quite realize it was still coming out at the time. So the second season was coming out as we got to it. And so we were just like tearing through. And you're in a different mood when you're doing that. And then we hit the fact that the episode hadn't come out yet for the next one. We're just like, well, what do we do? What are we going to do now? And so then had to wait like chumps for the next episode like to come schmucks. Out next week. I was raging.
Oh. Do you know what I really miss? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, like before, well, it was before I had like any sort of streaming service. And things were, you were watching things as they come out on TV. And you'd like go to school the next day and talk to your friends about it and discuss it. And then you do the same thing the next day. Now it's just like, oh, I watched this entire series. You'd probably like it. And that's all it is. Yeah.
Are you trying to say that what you want to do for me to recommend you shows is to watch the first episode and then be like, you should watch the first episode of this because I watched the first episode and really enjoyed it and I want to talk to you about it.
Maybe.
I don't think it'll work.
We'll see.
Like you'll always just have a little pile of, and it's not a little pile, it's a huge pile of Goose recommendations.
A fat stack.
And he picks 1 in 100.
I go through it. I probably just don't tell you when I watch things because you've recommended so many things. I forget what it's been.
I would still love to talk to you about the things I've recommended you to watch and you haven't watched them.
Okay,
Sven, we have covered the great depths of the pub and now we move on to other topics. Today, we shall be covering the etiquette of...
flying.
And we'll be going over how you should really be acting in these situations. Come with us into the etiquette of...
flying.
Right. Etiquette flying. And I would say, I almost want to sort of cut this up because I think there's so many sections to it.
Oh, but absolutely.
The reason that I'm talking about this is because over the past 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I've flown 8 times.
Yes.
Now, none of this is just, one of them was frivolous-ish. And then one was to go for a farewell thing in Belfast. And then one was for a funeral. So it's been like, you know, sorry, there and back, you know.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And then
odd.
And the longer flight had 2 flights as part of it. So I've flown a lot of times in a lot of different planes, a lot of different sort of places and all this kind of stuff and styles and everything. I want to break it down to I don't know which parts. You fly quite a lot, Scott. You've flown, obviously, pretty long haul.
Have, yeah.
Which part of flying do you think has the most sort of tentative, anger-inducing elements or the way people do things?
I'd say either going through... Are we talking about the physical in the air?
You have pinpointed the one that I think I want to talk about.
Going through security.
Have we talked this in the podcast already?
Maybe touched on it. I don't think so.
I know exactly what I want to say about this.
Go.
Right.
The floor's yours.
I think as people go through security, if you get through security correctly and do everything in the right manner, as in you manage to, you know, take your shoes off if you need to, take your belt off, you know, put your laptop in the right place, bag in the right place.
Your liquids out.
Yeah, you put it all correct and you get through and then you pick up your thing on the other side, put your tray in the right place, take your tray to where you're meant to undress at and everything, get undressed, put the thing, or dress back up, put it back on the pile where the trays go, and then you walk away. You should get a badge and be let into some kind of special lounge in the airport. Like, you should either get a badge that says, I know how to do instructions that are basic. Or actually,
you can turn right here.
Yeah.
You didn't take your belt off? You'll have to go left. I'm sorry.
I think they should split up couples for this stuff. It's a situation where the amount of times you see people get security, and it's sort of like, I get some people might not fly very often, fine. But like, there can't be that many people that haven't flown very often that are so bad at doing security. Louis, I feel like you're somebody I need to ask about this. Are you somebody that's prepared for security, or do you come up to security and it is like it's hit a wave that's hit you from nowhere?
I'm usually prepared weeks in advance.
That is very good to hear. Because I feel that could have gone one of two ways with Louis there. He's sort of like, I just sort of do it as it comes, you know? Like, just
a second half of the podcast is just us two. No, I get it. I will sort of, if I'll try and wear like trousers that I don't need a belt for, just so I don't have to take off a belt.
Yeah, fair. Good thinking.
Sort of easier on and off shoes.
You don't wear your Doc Martens when you're going through flight?
No. I'll always make sure my toiletries are at the top of my, or an easy accessible pocket.
Mm-hmm. And you know you're only allowed one bag of toiletries.
Some places you can take.
I think for most places it's just you get the one bag of the toiletry stuff.
Not my experience.
But that's the thing is, I think one of the only things I have a proviso here is there is different rules, different places, obviously, and different airports, and that's fine. I do get that. But there's things that are like obvious. Like, we were going through Edinburgh airport security, and it was like people were picking up the trays, and then there's an automatic thing you put it into in front of you that leaves a gap. And this woman had more than one tray's worth of stuff. I have more than one tray's worth of stuff. I know what I have to do with that is pick up a tray, put it in, put another one there. She cluttered up the whole process by jamming one tray in half into the conveyor belt of it, and then getting the other one and sort of put it on top of the first one. And then she had a third one and then jammed it all up again, doing the exact same thing. And it's like, do you not like see this as a conveyor belt of like, everyone's trying to get through here.
I think that's what people have to realize is that everyone is going the same place, which is through security.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, needs to get through. Yeah. It's not just like people are just staying around having a chat. It's like, oh yeah, whatever.
It baffles me how people can't be more. I think it's maybe a little bit of my anxiety that comes into it, but like more of, I don't want to be the person that is a problem to the thing. Mm-hmm. My bag got took aside for one of them, and I was like, oh, what did I put something stupid in my bag? Or like, I just forgot to take something out. I went to the side, and actually, thankfully, and then the best thing was the other people whose bags had gone, you know, they go to that little side section, you see it go down the alley of shame, and then they like they shout out and they're like, decathlon bag. that's me, actually.
Jansport.
And so there was about four trays in front of mine. And the guy had shouted out, like, the first one, no one. And the great thing about all this is, those people's bags, the people who are there, are too busy probably getting searched or strip searched because they've kept, like, I don't know, a knife on them or something like that. Because, can you not take knives through security? Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. I can't have this homemade bomb that I was taking through. It's like, no, you can't have that, surprisingly. So they're too busy getting, like, strip searched in the back.
Yeah.
But all their bags are just waiting in the queue. And I was like, just said to the guys, like, actually, that one's mine. I can just go through it and do it now. Fast he was like, yeah. And he takes it to the front and just goes, oh, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. I don't know why I went to this site. And then just hand it back to me. I was like, this is how this should be. I was
efficient.
So the rules, I would say, be prepared.
That's a good one.
Same as the Lion King and the hyenas and taking over from the king.
And the scouts.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Like, be ready. Know what the rules are. I don't know why this is such a, like, I feel like I'm getting angry because I've been through airport security so many times the last little while. I cannot tell you how many people I was like, what's wrong with you?
And usually there's like a fair bit of a lineup before you get to the trays.
And so you see everything that's going on. You can hear and see everyone what they're doing. And then people just get up to you like, what am I doing here? It's like, you're going through security. Yeah. Oh, it really got to me. I think after about, it took me about an hour to settle down. And one of the flights I was on was like only half an hour. So by the time we landed at the other end, I was just like, I'm still raging about that security.
I got pulled up once for having an empty bottle in my backpack, but they couldn't tell that it was empty. So they're like, going to have to search this. I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. innocuous mistakes, fine. It's when people are just sort of like all over the place and they're taking things out and it's like they've never taken things out of their pocket before. It's like, oh, my millions fell on the ground that were open in my pocket. Like,
I've also gone through like with shoes and belt and watch and they're just like, well, yeah, it's okay. I'm not saying do that, but yeah, they're like, obviously they're trying to like filter people through. I was like, do you want me to take my shoes off? Nah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. So whatever the rules are, check the rules.
Question three. So what can be the name of a band, a shot cocktail, and a bomber aircraft?
Oh, sorry. I thought this was the same question I asked last night. It's not. I asked a really similar question.
Three ways to get to the same answer here.
Can you please say it again?
What can be the name of a band, a shot cocktail, and a bomber aircraft?
I think I know this one.
Ready? On three?
Just give me a quick... Yeah. Yeah, I think... I think so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
One, two, three. B-52.
Yeah.
I think it's B-52. I thought B-52 was a shot.
There's layers to it.
Is that what you said? A shot
cocktail? Shot cocktail.
Yeah.
Oh, did you say a shot cocktail? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, a shot cocktail.
Wait, can I guess? It's Midori?
I think it's Tia Maria.
I'll get a different recipe. This has a more generic one.
Oh, okay. Is it Bailey's?
Is it like coffee liqueur?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, it's a coffee one.
Tia Maria with...
Cointreau?
No, I think it... I think it actually might be Tia Maria with Bailey's on top. Irish cream.
Like. So the ingredients... So
that'd be Baby Guinness, wouldn't it?
Coffee liqueur,
mm-hmm.
Bailey's, and then...
Grenadine?
Grand Marnier liqueur.
Okay, yeah.
Which is like grenadine, isn't it?
No.
No, I'm wrong. Hey, I used to make B-52s.
Grand Marnier is a visionary blend of fine cognac and bitter orange flavored liqueur. Yeah,
that's what I said, Cointreau.
A B-52.
Right. Okay, so coffee orangey.
Yeah.
Terry's coffee.
Here we
orange.
Go, Terry fans. It's for you.
B-52, and they're also a band that
Love Shack, yo. What?
And also,
and then you finish the rest of the
rock,
song.
Rock Lobster.
Yo, what?
With one of my favorite lines ever.
Tin roof rusted is the call and response.
One of the best line in any song.
Rock Lobster.
We were at a party. Everyone had matching towels.
Yeah, someone went under a dock.
I don't know why.
But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster. Also, Rome. That's a good song. I like that song.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
I saw there's a band on
Channel Z.
TikTok, I imagine. But I watch on Reels because I'm over 30.
And they do things in the style of B-52.
Everything, yeah. Amazing. So they just do songs in the styles of B-52. And it's so good because it's just that kind of slightly deep-voiced guy. And then the girls in the background are like, ooh.
Oh, he reminds me of... what's his name? Someone French Stewart.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Do you reckon?
Maybe.
A little bit.
Right. So B-52. What was the question again? Just so I can remind myself.
What can be the name of a band, a shot cocktail, and a bomber aircraft?
Do I get cheeky and write 52%?
You got a nice story about bomber aircrafts as well.
I was talking a lot about Dam Busters a while back.
Oh, yeah. With the bouncing bombs.
They had to spin backwards. So it got the skim. On the water, yeah, and then when it hit the actual dam, it was spinning, so it went down the actual front of the dam, so it didn't spin and then bounce off, and then end up exploding not really far away.
Oh.
Interesting.
Mm.
This one
percentage.
Okay,
go.
Oh,
right.
Gone quite different here.
Goose, you said...
91%.
Scott, you said...
76%. I wish I went higher.
Oh, higher?
Yeah.
So this came out... We've got a 76 and a 91. This one came out at 75%.
What? What do people not know about this? How do people not know it's a B-52?
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
I've lost faith in our quiz public.
Maybe like Grasshopper? That sounds like a bomber. Weapon plane?
Go for it.
I don't know.
That feels like one of these
Kamikaze?
Questions. Maybe. Maybe.
I think there's a few potential options.
I used to work in a bar where we made them, and they were really popular.
Yeah.
And so maybe because of that, and also because I like the P-52s.
Maybe.
And because I'm a big fan of the Bombers. So
there we go. What a question for you.
There we go. I've made a silly little game that I'd like to play.
Please.
So it's a simple game. It's just who has more Instagram followers. I'm going to give you two options, and you have to tell me who you think who has more Instagram followers. These are all legit, authorized accounts?
Right.
Legitimate accounts?
Yeah.
So the first one
verified.
Is verified. That's a better word to use. First one is iced tea or T-Pain?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Iced tea.
I would say...
We're probably, talking Ice-T, the actor.
I'd say probably T-Pain.
No, I'll go for Ice-T.
One has 1.1 million, the other has 2.9 million.
I'm saying T-Pain.
T-Pain is correct.
Yeah.
Well done.
He feels like I'm more Instagram generation of...
Wonder Goose.
People.
Yes, a little bit.
I'll just note it down. I'll keep the leaderboard, don't worry.
Recently dropped a cover version of War Pigs by Black Sabbath. Johnny Knoxville or Orlando Bloom?
Ooh.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. It's a little pattern for most.
Can we try and guess the second competitor next time?
Sure.
I would say probably Johnny Knoxville. I'll be the server because I won the last one.
That's fair. Orlando. Yeah, I think Johnny Knoxville will have more.
4.2 million for Jean. Orlando has 6.7 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So no points for the second one.
Yeah. I don't see Orlando as being as active on Instagram.
No.
Oh.
Johnny Knoxville's all over it, but also I don't follow either of them.
So no.
Okay, the next one is Eminem.
Oh, and the other will be M&M's, as in like the actual brand.
Correct. Half point.
Know how you think.
Who has more followers?
I'd say Eminem, as in the singer.
Okay. Louis?
I'll go the opposite in this case.
All right. Eminem has 38.5 million and M&M's has 1.2 million.
Ah, so, no. M&M's.
The rapper.
Yeah.
You've let me down.
Winning it.
Okay, the next one is Greg's.
Or, wait, let's think.
Greg James.
No.
Greg Davis.
Greg Davis.
Greg's or Greg Davis?
Yeah. Has to be Greg's.
Do you think? Oh, I think it might be Greg Davis.
I can't see him using it much, though.
I don't think he would, but I think maybe he does because he has some big tours out recently and he's a Taskmaster.
Greg sell pizza.
In between us.
That's not what I would pick for the first thing that Greg sell.
Oh, you know the pizza place, Greg's.
Why would that
be? Do they even sell pizza?
You know that
they
Pizza Hut you do pasta?
I love Pasta Hut. Sorry, Pizza Hut. I forget they do pizza.
I forget that's a thing.
All right, take a guess.
Wait, sorry.
Greg's.
Greg's or Greg Davis?
I'm Greg Davis.
Okay. 137,000 to Greg's and 85,500 for Greg Davis.
So it's Greg's.
Greg's.
Yes.
So Louis gets a point there.
Yeah.
The pizza place.
This one's not as clever, but it's still not as relevant. Von Dutch or FUBU?
I don't know who either of them are.
No? The brands?
I know the first.
I know Von Dutch is a brand, but not really well. Are they a skate brand?
Wouldn't say so.
How are you spelling it? What?
VONDUTCH.
We can skip that one.
I mean, I'm going to go Von Dutch because it's the one I've heard of.
I'll go the opposite because I've not heard of it.
FUBU. You haven't? I thought you of all people would have heard of FUBU. You know, they used to make those like real shiny, like...
That's what people think of when they think of me.
No, like you know how they have those Wu-Tang pants?
Yeah.
That are like really, like the shiny denim and they're quite big? No?
Parachute pants.
Yeah, that's what I... Okay, right.
Yeah, I thought you would have known them. For you, by you. That's what I think that's what it stands for. Anyway.
Do I look like a fashionable person? I'm wearing clothes exclusively from Giacomo.
These it was Von Dutch, 164,000 versus 95,100.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad for both of them.
The next one, Tony Hawk or the Seattle Seahawks?
Ah, I think Tony Hawk.
Sports, I think Seattle Seahawks.
They're both sport people.
Tony Hawk's big, though. He does a lot of stuff. He's quite active.
Yeah, recovering from a injury.
But people like their sports teams.
That's true. Tony Hawk, 7.8 million. Seattle Seahawks, 3.1 million.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's just dominating this.
Yeah. And the last one in this very fun game, New York Mets or the Met? Metropolitan Museum of Art.
The Met.
I think New York Mets.
It's the Met. 4.1 million Ooh. Versus 1.4 million, which is a nice little flipperoo.
Which makes it 2 versus 4.
Nice. Thank you for that, Scott. What a lovely game.
It was. I enjoyed that. I have to put my little aside, though, just my quick little story at the end. We mentioned Greg's on Instagram. You know, I got like a few hundred likes on a comment underneath a Scottish banter page post. Okay. Because it was somebody said they ordered chicken. It was like a video. Someone ordered chicken pasty, chicken bake.
Chicken pizza.
Yeah, chicken bake. And it was actually a sausage and bean melt. And so then they like punched it and then threw it against the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was like commenting maybe number 2 or 3. Must have just posted when I was there. And then it's just like, why would you do this? Like, sausage bean cheese melt is like top tier Greg's. It's such a good pastry. Ooh. It really is top tier Greg's. And then obviously people straight away were like, because yeah, I think a lot of people agreed. Chicken bake, I'd say, isn't as good as a sausage and bean cheese melt. So if you by mistake some freak order, you said I want chicken bake and got a sausage and bean cheese melt, especially if it was hot. Oh, top tier.
I'd probably get chicken bacon over
beer.
I don't know. Something about like getting beans from a place is interesting.
Sausage bean cheese melt. It's like top tier of what you can get.
I'll get one. Should we run down and get one now? We'll get one for next episode. We'll get panettone.
Panettone.
Sausage and bean cheese melt.
I'm tempted to run and get one for you after this episode.
Sausage and bean melt. Make a list of these.
Yeah. Only if it's hot.
All right.
Only if it's hot. You okay?
Yeah, my nose has been playing up lately.
He looked in pain.
Nah, that's not. It's like.
Oh, do you want
like a physical thing? Like it feels like it's all swollen.
Sinuses.
Do you want
and histamine
to do that? Well, antihistamine would work, but we bought those after Alice was ill when we were away in Christmas. We bought, I can't remember what it's called, neti pot.
Oh, I got one.
Oh well, then there we go.
Thank you.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
All right. Well then, I'm sorry.
I do it on the regular.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I only do it when I really need to. But we've got a new one, which is like a squirty one, as opposed to a poor one. Do you have a poor one?
I've got like a gravity-fed one.
All right. So we've got like one.
Press the button on the top.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, our one is like jam up your nose and then squeeze the bottle and it squeezes through your nose.
Right.
So sometimes when you've not got quite the pressure right or the heat right, especially, you feel like you're kind of torturing yourself.
You feel it like filling up behind your eyes.
Pulling out behind your eye. Yeah. It's great fun. If you don't know what a neti pot is, I'd say, and if you have bad sinuses, it's definitely worth
nasal irrigation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you first do it, it does feel like you're being tortured.
Oh yeah, like you're waterboarding yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm drowning.
I like it. I don't mind it. I'd like to get to that point where I can drink through my nose. And like, was it Richie Rich who does that?
I don't know.
You see that? Like you put a straw up your nose and then you're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
I would never want to do that. Do you wonder why you have terrible sinuses? Because you keep on trying to drink tea through your nose.
It's hot but worth it.
It's going to happen one time.
This smoothie's not going down well.
It's boba tea.
Maybe that's why Scott doesn't like coffee. It's like every time we see it, it's like, can never get the taste of it right. Like,
well, I hate coffee because it hurts my nose.
Okay, question four, which insect is vital to the pollination of figs?
I do know this.
So, which insect is vital to the pollination of figs?
I think I know this.
I don't know how specific it has to be.
I'm not that specific. I've got a type of insect that I think I know what it is.
I think I know as well, yeah.
Do you want to say on the same time again? Say the same thing?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Wasps.
Yeah, I think it's wasps. Yeah. I think they're not. Is it not them that the thing forms around?
Yeah, like they have to.
I think they get caught or something.
Crawl inside it to germinate.
Yeah, there's some. I felt the actual like them as opposed to just the pollination. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, there's like a wasp in every fig. That's the tagline for figs.
That feels like an Alanis Morissette song.
There's a wasp in every bite.
Is it wasp?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, wow. Do you know if it needs to be... What is it? Is it like... Is it something like deeply carnivorous and it just goes inside something? It's like, oh, this is a nice place to be. Fig.
Yeah, it's actually... It's to do... It's more complicated. It's to do with male and female wasps and male and female figs as well. Okay. So I think the female one crawls inside the... let me find this.
Wait, do they mistake figs for wasps?
No, so if the female wasp arrives in a male fig, she lays her eggs and then dies. And then the eggs hatch, which is fine.
That's not fine, by the way.
And then they escape and they're all good. But if the wasp goes into a female fig, she can't lay her eggs and then she dies of starvation on the inside.
Ah, bugger. Interesting.
So fig, sometimes you think about nature and just go...
However, she does bring pollen into the internal flower of the female fig.
So it's not a semi-formed fig.
No,
it's the bud.
It's the early days. Right, thus pollinating it.
Right. And then it becomes a fig.
Nom, 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 nom. Yeah.
Right.
Like a wasp.
Sometimes you look at nature and you just go, what are you doing?
It's just a wasp ravioli.
Yeah.
Right, percentage of what was the question again?
Which insect is vital to the pollination of figs?
See, I feel like this is like a clickbait TikTok thing.
Is it? I don't know. We'll see what your answer is. You both got it right. You both know your wasps.
Yes, I've been thrown though. I've been shook by the B52 question. It's upset me so deeply.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, turn. Right, Goose, you said...
58%.
58. Scott, you said...
73.
Okay. Dun, 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 we've got a 58 and a 73. It's between you two.
Betwixt.
Betwixt.
Like the wasp and the fig.
The bread in our quiz
the
sandwich.
The owl and the pussycat. 58 and a 73. This one came out at 67%. So Scott is only 6 away. He gets full points. Goose is 9 away.
Have I lost?
Gets takes point. The game.
I think that's it. You're currently, unless, as we always say, unless Scott goes missing in the last question and doesn't submit an answer.
I got a spot on and then I've lost the last 3 questions.
I'm going to write down this percentage now. I'm going in blind.
Oh, he's doing it.
No, I don't like
this. He's playing the game. Yes, Scott is on track to win. Let's see.
Let's
say perhaps.
Here's my new intro for Louis's segment. Louis wants to talk about.
Oh, for this segment. First thing.
Remember when you used to call yourself a one take Louis?
I am when I'm by myself. Yeah.
I'm just going to write down not the team.
Do you want me to do it again? I mean, you could take that snippet because I think that was a nice little intro for Louis. Because every single time he'll do it with such low energy, it's hard to even assume that he wants to talk about anything.
Yeah, go for it.
Louis wants to talk about...
milk.
My favorite segment.
Before you go into this, can I just ask, what milk do you consider milk? Are you a full fat milk person?
For this discussion point or in general?
In general. In your fridge, do you have full fat milk?
I don't really drink. Well, there's semi-skimmed in there, but I don't really drink milk.
All right.
Do you drink milk alternatives?
Well, yes.
Just about anything could be a milk alternative.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm drinking this Marmite as a milk alternative. Doesn't go down easy.
This fig and wasp shake is sure hitting the spot. I hate that it's through my nose. Sorry, yes. Louis, this is your segment.
You carry on. I didn't mean to ask you a question first.
It's been weighing on my mind for a while now, this. It's a very serious point. I want to talk to people about putting milk in bolognese sauce.
Do you do that?
Well, it's a thing that people do, apparently, and I've just never taken that leap, so I wondered if other people have done it.
In bolognese sauce?
Yeah.
Sorry, in my head, I thought you just said lasagna, and I was just like, yeah, white sauce.
Well, yeah, well, no, we'll talk tomato-y sauces, let's say.
But I'd never, I don't think I've ever probably made a bolognese sauce from scratch, have I?
What?
I've heard of...
I probably have, but I don't think I put milk into it.
Apparently, it's the secret ingredient, and I've never tried it, and I just wondered if other people had.
But I think I've definitely heard of like putting milk in with mints.
Oh, I haven't either that.
With mints, just if you're cooking mints?
Not if you're just cooking mints, but if you're cooking a dish with mints. Like, I think it maybe like meatballs.
Oh, really?
Oh, I thought it was just to show you our power of the animals, to be like, remember when you used to be alive and you could create this?
I don't think I've heard. I've cooked, I like making my own bolognese sauce, but I don't think I've put milk in it. Or heard to put milk in it.
No, neither. I don't think I've even heard that.
I think this is maybe from watching too many Bon Appetit videos.
Right.
Where they put milk in.
I'm going to try it though.
Well, next week.
Wow, we're going to just have a feast next week.
But do you have a gripe with it? Or is
no,
this like
no.
An
I'm
interest?
Just, I've never, I'm usually, you know, okay taking the plunge, but I feel like there's no way to walk back after putting milk inside a bolognese sauce.
Yeah.
I can't undo that.
This is like a very odd term of phrase there.
This is territory of like put some dark chocolate in chili, put some tomato soup
I've
in
done,
chocolate
I've
cake.
I've put the dark chocolate in chili.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have as well.
Done that. It does definitely help. I also put beans in it, so. And not as in like baked beans. I've put beans into chili, which worked really nicely because it thickens it all up as well.
So according to Melbourne, a resident chef and pasta maker there, you might know him, Scott, adds a liter of milk for every 600 grams of meat.
What?
Which is a lot.
That's a lot.
But this is definitely, there's someone listening at home that swears by this, I'm sure, so they can get in touch.
That sounds like a saucy, that's swimming
sauce,
in sauce,
saucy
unless you
but
like
milk,
really reduce it.
Adds,
milk thickens up, doesn't it?
Yeah, adds the depth of flavor and reduces the acidity of tomatoes.
Okay. It does. I've heard in cooking, you need a sort of base item to let the flavors kind of stick to.
A coagulant.
I think it's, I can't remember what they call it, but I was watching a program where they recreate sweets and like snacks and stuff. And like, you know, it's like properly well-trained chefs doing this.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting they talk about that exact thing, that you need a sort of base thing for other things to stick to.
Okay.
So I wonder if the milk does that for bolognese. It's a bit more sort of a thing that it all kind of gels together with. So
I'd give it a go.
Yeah, I would give it a go.
It has to be cow milk.
I presume that's the best. You can try almond milk if you want, or oat milk, or we'll go for dairy.
Because those milks behave differently.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting. I've not heard of that.
Well, no, neither.
I'll give it a go.
Really? Oh, wow. We have very different.
No, I'd never
YouTube
heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. YouTube and Instagram algorithms.
All right. Send me a link. I believe you.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I believe you too.
Just imagine if I made that up.
Oh, you'd be ruining so many people's bolognese. That guy from Melbourne is just a random fantasy. It's like, why have we done this?
Yeah, it would be good, though. I'll try it one week. I made a pasta sauce last night, which is why this came to mind. I used a different secret ingredient.
Ooh,
for your pasta sauce?
Yeah, which I have a few times.
Okay. It's like white pasta sauce.
No, it's red.
Tomato-based.
Yeah, tomato-based.
Okay, and we can we get a whittle down of sort of like, is it...
it's a liquid.
This is the worst version of subjective guess who.
Yeah.
But
This is it. If you're in the milk camp, I don't know if you can try this alongside, but this is one of my secret ingredients.
Okay, so...
Did you put aquafaba in it?
No.
It's a pasta dish. Did you have sauce, pasta, anything else?
No, but this is for the sauce.
For the sauce.
It's not like a little secret
ingredient in there.
Yeah, but are you making a complete dish out of it?
Yeah.
Or are you just making like a generic pasta sauce?
You're asking, I made pasta and I made 29 meatballs last night.
Okay.
Well, and they were very specific.
Pop one in for yourself before cooking.
I did have one meatball while the rest were, while I was making the sauce.
Okay.
Made a spare meatball for myself.
Just a little raw baby.
I cooked it. I cooked that one. It was great.
Just a treat.
Is that a hangover from your days of working in IKEA, at the kitchen in IKEA?
No. Oh, what, a spare meat? No. I just haven't made meatballs in a while, so I just made some meatballs.
Hey, fair. Beef meatballs, pork meatballs?
I went authentic. I went both. Yeah, I went beef and pork mince in there.
Right. Secret ingredient in the sauce. Is it a herb? No, it's a liquid.
It's a sauce, and it's a sauce you would associate with a different...
Soy sauce.
Close.
Oh, hoisin.
No.
Worcestershire.
Plum.
No.
Ooh. Fish?
Yeah.
Fish sauce.
Oh, really? Yeah,
for that umami flavor.
And how did you just experiment yourself for that? Or?
No, I read about this one as well. This is a bit easier to put in smaller quantities and test instead of pouring a liter of milk.
Quite salty, huh?
Yeah, but it brings out the other flavors, I think. That's so fair. I've put soy sauce in before.
Okay. As well. Nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Good. Anyway, unrelated. On the notes, it says milk, comma, cereal, and they're two very different discussion points.
Yeah, when you said unrelated, I didn't realize it would be this unrelated.
Well, should we save the cereal discussion for next week?
Yeah, save it for next week, people. I want you thinking about cereal for my food corner. Just next time you're in the shop, just think about cereal.
You know, the intro to this segment is just going to be, Louis wants to talk about always food.
Yeah. Question five. Cheery. The World Health Organization certified the global eradication of what disease in 1980?
I think I know what this is.
So, who certified the global eradication of what disease in 1980?
I really wanna.
What do you think?
Smallpox.
Smallpox.
It's one of the few.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible that they did it.
Yeah. Is that the one Elvis helped with? He like got an injection live on TV.
Ooh, might have. Yeah.
Like the in vaccine
polio.
Okay, sorry. Is it polio?
How you got Americans to accept the polio vaccine?
Polio, I think, still exists.
Okay.
On the Ed Sullivan Show.
But smallpox was, like, brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the fact that... I think it is smallpox.
Okay, let's go smallpox.
Smallpox, correct. The only infectious disease to achieve eradication.
Right. Oh, I said one of the few, the only. Yeah, it's a really impressive thing. Although, there was a thing...
But it still exists as a bioterrorist weapon.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, you know, that... They talk about like leaks from, you know, obviously after all the COVID and everything, then people start going conspiracy theory. And then one of the ones is like, oh, you know, some lab released it or whatever. And you're a bit like, yeah. And then I was listening to End of the World podcast about how the 10 ways the world could end. You know, one of them's like aliens invade and just snub us out because if we haven't seen them for this long and then suddenly they arrive, it's like, we had no idea you were here.
We've been waving the whole time and you didn't wave back.
It's like, yeah, it's like waving a flag that says, we're defenseless. Like, just how about come and get us? But no, and the other one is a leak from a lab, and they put the stats out on leaks from labs that is so insanely high from like leaks of bio whatever that they're working on in labs. You're like, oh, we really are like doomed. this is a problem. And then one time they found smallpox in a fridge unlabeled, like in a petri dish.
That's how we get those aliens.
No, go in that fridge just at the back. right, what is it? What's the question again? Smallpox is the answer.
Yeah, the World Health Organization certified the global eradication of what disease in 1980? Scott has changed his answer that he wrote down.
Oh, no, I'm trying to wipe off the residue from the last one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Talk about showboating over there. 3-2-1, turn.
Ooh.
Right. Goose, you've said
74%.
74. Scott, you said
86%.
86%. This one came out at 54%.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So I feel like
it's a low boy.
We've got a load of questions here, which people didn't do well at.
Yeah, okay.
I would have thought like a lot of these would have been higher.
This one. I mean, I couldn't think of it, so there's that. But then there's also probably a lot of possible contenders.
I mean,
it depends on your demographic.
I also think it depends what you, like your rough knowledge of it originally, because I think it was quite well known that smallpox has been eradicated.
When was it? Sorry, what year?
1980.
Yeah, but I mean, it was eradicated in the sense that, like, it has to have been not present for a long time before they announced it as being eradicated. So it was quite a long time ago they managed it.
Yeah, yes, well, like it hasn't really been discussed. Like, I mean, it hasn't been in the news. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, so. No. But there we go. I'm happy to understand that. Well, I'm not happy. I understand that I've lost today.
That's right. Can't win them all.
Do you want to review the scores, Libby?
Yeah, we can go over the final standings. So, despite getting one bang on,
which I feel I should get extra points for.
Well, which is good. In give second
him
place,
one extra point, on, still loses.
On 7 points, we've got Goose.
Thank you, everyone. That rapturous applause is much deserved.
Winning by 1 point on 8 points, we've got Scott.
Hey.
Who wins for the first time in a while.
In a while.
I'll take it.
He's back on since the 7th of February. It's his first win.
Back into the Scott era.
The 7th of February.
Dynasty.
What are the totals at the moment? Do you know?
No.
Do you want me to write you an Excel to track this?
You could if you want.
I would like
people
to.
Can update their scores at home.
I would really like to do that, please. Fantastic. Really well played, Scott.
Thank you very much. As my prize, send us pictures of you on public transport.
nothing seedy.
Yeah, fully clothed.
Why did we get into that?
You don't have to be in the picture.
I enjoy
send it. Us a picture of your view. But there we go, done.
Fair enough, right.
Send your questions in. Send your pictures in.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Next week, fun. Cereal.
Remember, give us your questions. We want the questions.
Oh yeah, that too. Come to a quiz.
Come to a quiz.
Get your Easter hat on.
Yeah.
Easter bonnet parade.
So much.
So much to
we
do.
Can discuss that next week. Because I'm curious to what that is.
Yeah.
All right. See you, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.